505, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday. Yes, indeed, we have made it. Congratulations. Self high fives all the way around. We've got a lot of great stuff we'll be dealing with this afternoon. There's some brand new laws hitting us in Virginia, but especially hitting those who own and operate businesses. Paid sick leave, all sorts of other benefits that the General Assembly, who have never actually owned or operated a business, decided that every business in Virginia should now provide. Just how damaging is it to business owners? Karen Michael will join us at 3:35. Karen, of course, is an expert in this area. This is her law practice, but she also does a great column for the Times Dispatch and is sought out for her expertise. We're just very, very happy that we're able to get her in this afternoon, get her on the program. Karen Michael at 3:35. Stan Drewski is going to be here at 4:35. Of course, if today is Friday, and it is, because I just announced it is Friday. Exactly. So I know it's Friday. So that means tomorrow is Saturday if you're playing along at home, and that means that the best weekend radio show anywhere in the garage with Stan Andruski airs tomorrow morning right here at 8 a.m. And so Stan will be along at 4:35 this afternoon with a little insight, little update, little forecast as to what it is that we may or may not be discussing tomorrow on his program in the garage with Stan Andruski. If you saw the story about Richmond's rather rotund mayor, Dr. Donnie Avuli, and his latest series of screw-ups. I know, it's tough sometimes to keep track of the screw-ups. The latest screw-up is that if you are in the city of Richmond, it's even more dangerous today in the city of Richmond because fire stations are not staffed adequately. Now, it's only your life that they're playing with, so please don't go getting some freaking attitude about this. And if the mayor thinks it's okay, then, and by all means, it's probably okay. Now, if the mayor thinks it's okay, it's probably because there was a free lunch of some sort. But we'll be joined by Keith Andes. We're going to do that Monday afternoon. He's the president of the Richmond Firefighters Association. And we'll talk about just how dangerous it's getting. I do want you to bear this in mind as you think about the city, especially. And for those of us who understand where the city is and what's in the city and who goes to the city or doesn't go to the city, it's more dangerous in the city than it has been in a long time. Staffing for the Richmond Police Department, of course, is so far off pace, it's embarrassing. Now, that's not new. Just FYI, that started back in the Summer of Love, right? During the Summer of Love, as we had all of those mostly peaceful rioters rampaging through the streets of the city of Richmond, setting buildings on fire, setting buses on fire, attacking law enforcement officers, attacking just any and every decent human being they could encounter, as they were coddled by complete and total reprobates like the then governor, Governor Goober, Ralph Northam, the then lieutenant governor, the then mayor, LeVar Stoney. You remember all this nonsense. There were so many members of RPD that said, "Yeah, I'm done. I'm just going to leave. I'm not going to stick around to be the center of a riot." And so a lot of folks left, and they haven't really been replaced. But now we see it's impacting the fire department as well. When you're running fire trucks with fewer firefighters on them, you are endangering more people. And it's not for want of a desire to serve. Look, I love firefighters. I think they're insane. And I mean that in the nicest possible way. I think they're crazy. I mean, really, who the hell runs into a burning building? You got to be nuts. And thank God they are. But when you don't have enough of those heroes riding on trucks, and you're just essentially trying to keep up appearances, which is exactly what the mayor is trying to pull with this nonsense. Well, look, we got all the fire. I see fire trucks. You see any firefighters? Well, I do. Do you see enough firefighters? I don't know. That's the problem. That's the problem. But anyway, Keith Andes will be with us on Monday to talk about that. In the meantime, if you go into the city, God bless you. If you do your best to stay out of the city, that's what most of us do at this point. It is, and it is a shame. It is really, really a shame. But it is the situation as we are dealing with it today. A couple of things I do want to share with you because it is Friday. And you know the way I do things on Friday. I always wear red on Friday. R-E-D, remember everyone deployed. Started by a couple of Marine moms a few years ago. Just as a visible reminder that we got good, solid people serving far, far from home every single day of the year. So I am wearing red today. I am wearing my Don't Make Me Use My Radio Voice shirt. I would never use my radio voice. I mean, yesterday was National Radio Day, was not. Have we all recovered from National Radio Day? Germ, have all the leftovers been put away? Because I'm sure there was a gigantic party at the radio factory with food and cake and beverages and balloons and party animals and, I don't know. Balloon animals? Did we have balloon animals? Yeah, nice. All right, so, yeah. So, anyway, so all that's been put away now. Good, 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 good. That's excellent. So, we'll be ready to take the skinheads bowling in a week or two. That'll be good. Good! All right. With all of that being said, so no, I would never use a radio voice because, I get to do this every day. But that's what I'm wearing, my red shirt that happens to say, Don't Make Me Use My Radio Voice. And because it is a Friday, wearing my Peppa Pig hat. I got that from a very, very, very good friend of mine. One of my best friends, by the way. One of my best friends, my dear pal, Emily Morrissey. Down in Midlothian from Emily's Bracelets, emilysbracelets.com. You know, Emily got me a Peppa Pig hat because she had a Peppa Pig hat, and I happened to remark that it was really cool to have a Peppa Pig hat. And don't you know, Emily went and found another Peppa Pig hat and gave it to me. So, yeah, on Fridays, because nothing says Friday like a little dose of Peppa Pig, I put on my Peppa Pig hat. So that's what we got locked and loaded for a Friday afternoon. So that will be very, very good stuff. And I do need to know, is it icing or frosting? This is an actual debate that I don't want to say I'm in the middle of, because I will eat either one. I don't really care what you call it. I will be happy to consume that. Icing or frosting, or frosted icing, or icy frosting, whichever way you want to go. But yesterday, I'm over at the Better Business Bureau serving Central Virginia, and I'm hanging out with Barry Moore, who, you know, regular on this program, and Barry and I have been buddies for forever and ever and ever, and I'm helping him out with a BBB sharing. This is a great opportunity for accredited businesses. The Better Business Bureau does this little kind of get-to-know-us podcast, if you will. And I said, hey, would you mind helping us out? I said, I'd be thrilled to, because you have to remember this. My own personal business is an accredited business. This here radio station is an accredited business. So we all kind of pitch in, right? Everybody rolls up their sleeves and says, I'm part of the Better Business Bureau. I want to help other accredited businesses. So I said, yeah, I'm happy to help you out. So yesterday, as part of this, I chatted with some really great people, but a couple of folks I chatted with, Doug and Gina Brown. Doug and Gina Brown, who I know will become, well, I guess they already have become sort of fast friends. They are the owners of Nothing Bundt Cakes, and they got locations all over America. It's just crazy when you think about it. And Barry said, oh, they do some delicious cakes, and he was describing some of his favorites. And I said, sure, it sounds delicious to me. And Barry said, oh, the icing, and he stopped dead in his tracks. And now I'm telling you, to get Barry to stop right there, stomp on a dime, not say another word. You know, Barry is he's a talker. A very nice guy, but Barry talks and he gets rolling, and then he just stopped. And he realized, uh-oh, I think I'm in trouble. And I looked at Doug and Gina, and they were looking at him like he was going to steal their first bundt cake. Because they said, Barry, it's frosting. And Barry said, no. You know, at my age, and Jersey, it's icing. Now, I don't think this falls into the Jimmy's versus sprinkles category, because we all know Jimmy's, that's the term. They are Jimmy's. They're not sprinkles. The sprinkles are things that happen when it rains. Jimmy's are things you put on ice cream. But that being said, is it icing or frosting? Well, Barry is sticking with icing, and Doug and Gina from Nothing Bundt Cake says it is their corporate policy that it's frosting. So, in the midst of everything else we're talking about, and you know, I don't do stupid radio, but every once in a while we do some stuff that's not nearly as important, theoretically, as other days. I do want you to reach out on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. You've got to let me know. Is it icing? Is it frosting? That's it. That's it. 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. All right, Karen Michael's going to be along. If you are a small business owner, you are probably getting ready for the impact of paid mandatory sick leave and a whole bunch of other stuff that a group of people who don't own or operate businesses decided is exactly how you should own and operate a business. It is 316 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRBA. 320 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRBA. It is Friday. Yeah. We have made it. Congratulations. Self-high fives all the way around. Happy Friday, Jeff. 804 says, Jeff, it is definitely frosting. 804, Jeff, it is definitely icing. Jeff, you ever heard of frosting on the cake? No, of course not. It's always icing on the cake. Enough said, says 804. Icing on pastries, Jeff. Baked goods served warm or hot, that's icing. Frosting on cakes or baked goods served room temperature or cool. Oh, that's interesting, says 434. Mike in Lunenburg says, Jeff, I have never uttered the word frosting. It has never rolled off my tongue. It is clearly icing. All right, well, I am glad to see that we have now gotten a whole slew of people truly angered at the end of the work week. This is good. I feel almost like my work here is done. No, there's more to come. But icing or frosting seems to be the dilemma. Barry Moore from the Better Business Bureau says, Jeff, it's icing. Doug and Gina from Nothing Bundt Cakes, who have put this substance on any number of cakes, have said, no. It's frosting. Okay. Anybody excited about the midterms? No, of course not. Anybody expecting good things with the midterm elections? You know, Brian Maloney was here yesterday, the media equalizer. He said, Jeff, I don't think it's going to be nearly as bad as people are thinking about it, that people are saying. You know, every time there's an election, there's this oversampling, or they try to make it sound as if it's all over for the Republicans, and the Democrats are going to do this, but it always works. Here's what I know. I know that right now, there's a whole chunk of America that hates President Trump. They don't dislike him. They hate him. And they're going to vote. And since President Trump is not on the ballot, they're going to vote for anybody who is also saying to them, hey, we hate him too. If anybody really thinks that any of this stuff is going to be a cakewalk, whether that's a cakewalk with icing or with frosting, you are out of your ever-loving minds. Can the good guys hang on to the House and the Senate? I think so. But look at all of the folks locally who are really having to campaign. Nothing easy about this. Rob Whitman in the first, Jen Kiggins in the second, John McGuire in the fifth. The second district, as most of us know, not everybody. Sometimes people start talking about stuff and they're talking out their ear and they don't really know stuff. But for those of us that do know, the second district has a tendency to veer Republican, but it is not overwhelmingly a Republican place. Right? It goes back and forth. You know that. And Jen Kiggins, unfortunately, has had to deal with some extra stupidity in the course of this campaign. Even as Elaine Loria is exposed for increasing her personal wealth by what was it, $20 million? That's not a, hey, I just had this feeling Amazon was going to be successful kind of a stock thing. This is, boy, you were working full time on this while you're supposed to be representing the second district, weren't you? So she has truly enriched herself. And she could very well be the congresswoman from the second district again. Rob Whitman. Rob Whitman is a rock solid guy. Always has been. Always has been. But that first district has been moved and reconfigured so many times. And by design, it has become far more Democrat leaning than Republican leaning. That's been the mission for those who have been drawing those lines. And his opponent, of course, Shannon Taylor, she is a far left-wing wackadoodle. Criminal-loving, cop-hating. Criminal-loving, cop-hating Shannon Taylor. She is Central Virginia's version of Steve Descano out of Fairfax. But she has a whole slew of very heavily invigorated people on her side. Why? Because she says she hates Trump. And for many people, that's going to be enough. John McGuire. Look, John won by 15 points last time. And the National Democrats are going to be pouring a huge amount of money in. We just got a mailer today. On behalf of Tom Perriello. I have to tell you that there's also some real ugliness in that 5th district. You probably know what it is, but if you don't know what it is, let me share it with you. Bob Good, the disgraced former member of Congress for the 5th district, came up with a real ridiculous primary challenger to run against John McGuire. And it forced John McGuire to spend money and effort running in a primary. Now, John McGuire is upside down in the general election facing off against Perriello. And I'm here to tell you that a lot of it has to do with Bob Good and his minions, who would like nothing more than for Tom Perriello to win and then launch a new Bob Good for Congress campaign. That's the fact. That is the fact. All right, you own a business. What exactly are you supposed to provide to your employees? Karen Michael knows, and she knows about all the new stuff you've been told. Oh, yeah, this is good for you, even though it's going to cost you a bundle. She'll be with us next. 327 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 335 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Friday. Yeah. No, it really is. Honest to goodness, I checked the calendar twice. It is Friday, and we have made it. Congratulations. Self high fives all the way around. An hour from now, my brother from another mother, Stan Drewski, is going to be here. Stan Andrewski, owner, operator of Certified Auto Repair, as well as Arts Automotive Service, and most importantly, at least for today and tomorrow, the host of In the Garage with Stan Andrewski. I am telling you, the best weekend radio show anywhere. That is tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. I know a lot of business people here in Central Virginia, right? Over 14 plus years, you get to know a person or two. And everybody is telling me, Jeff, it is about to get very, very brutal in the business world in Central Virginia for them and Virginia writ large. Why? Because a whole slew of people up there on Capitol Square who have not owned or operated a business decided what people who do own and operate businesses should be offering to employees. And, well, very, very, very difficult stuff coming down the pike. Karen Michael, as you know, is an expert in this area, employment law, and I know she's not offering legal advice. I want to get the appropriate disclaimer, Karen. None of this advice can be used for the purposes of what? Entering into a contract, purchasing a home, buying a cupcake or anything like that. But you do know what you're talking about.
Well, I try to, and what's good afternoon, by the way, Jeff. Yeah. So I try to, but I tell you, I do this podcast called The Job Judge, and I started it, my most recent one, which I did on the employment law changes. It's an hour and a half podcast, much longer than I normally do. Wow. And I started it by saying most people say California has a lot of employment laws, but Virginia has California saying, hold my beer, because the last 6 years have fundamentally changed the legal landscape of employment law in Virginia, just exponentially, things I never could have expected. We used to be kind of a sleepy employment law town, kind of like Georgia.
Yeah.
But we have literally become competition on our employment laws with New Jersey, California, Illinois. It's really been a fascinating change of events to see. And I do not get politics, not about politics.
Right.
But it truly is about a change of philosophy of whether businesses get to run their business and make decisions for their business, or whether we tell businesses what they can and cannot do. And there are some very significant changes that have come out in the last 6 years, including in this most recent assembly that started in July of 2026.
All right, Karen, I have been told by every single solitary business owner that I know, and that is that's more than a few, paid sick leave is what's going to impact them the most. So explain to us what exactly is going to happen and when it's going to happen.
Well, you have to understand that there's actually two big laws that were passed this year relating to time off from work because of various things. One is paid sick leave. Mm-hmm. And then separate from that, there's paid FML, which is going to be, you're going to be allowed to take basically family medical leave paid through an insurance program offered through the Virginia Employment Commission that employers and employees pay into. It's going to be a $1.5 billion thing that we pay into, and if only 2.7% of employees in Virginia use it, it's going to run out of money. So that's a totally separate law. That'll start April 1st of 2028. They'll start taking money. Virginia Employment Commission's hiring over 300 people, millions and millions. I think it's $77 million at the startup cost.
Wow.
Then in December 2028, employees will be allowed to take paid family medical leave up to 12 work weeks, and it'll go run through this program. And so all of that's happening, that will also be happening. So parallel that with what's happening with paid sick leave, which is a totally separate bill. So paid sick leave says that employers are required to offer 1 hour of paid leave for every 30 hours that an employee works, up to 40 hours. And it's not just for normal things like paid, you know, like you're sick. It's to care for a family member. It's to, because of domestic violence, sexual assault, stalking. And the family member is very, very broad. It includes a person for whom the employee is responsible for arranging health or safety-related care, and anyone whose close association with the employee is equivalent to a family relationship. So basically, you can take off for any reason for those 40 hours. Now, there is a little bit of a sliding scale.
Yeah.
So an employer that is 50 or more employees, they have to start July 1st, 2027. 25 or more employees is January 1st, 2028. And if you have one little employee, you have to start doing that on January 1st of 2029. So, and you can carry it over if you don't use it all. You can use it for any of these reasons. And so employers, I think most employers probably offer some form of leave.
Sure.
But because they've carefully defined, you get for all these reasons, now it's just so broad. And it's just one of just so many other things that have been piled on to our employers, that it's in the last 6 years, I mean to tell you, it has been a lot.
let me see if I understand this correctly now, counselor. I have one employee, and with one employee, while I don't have to put this into place for a couple of years out, I am going to have to offer them 40 hours of sick leave per year, and that can kick in because their neighbor said, you know, I would feel better if you came over and watched the game with me today.
Well, it's not that broad, but the employee could, you know, they're not going to get proof that why they're really taking off.
Right.
It can be really, you know, any reason. And you get 1 hour for every 30 hours work. So somebody that only works, for example, 20 hours a week, they probably would not end up with that much benefit. But somebody who works 30 hours a week is eventually in the year going to end up with 40 hours a week. So it includes part-time employees. And by the way, the paid family leave, that's one or more employees as well. So I have one employee. I'm going to have to, day one, by the way, offer these people paid family leave. So then when that kicks in. So yeah, these little mom and pop shops, which, you know, some people listening are like, don't people deserve paid time off? Don't they deserve? And I'm sensitive to that. I love when employers give generous benefits to their employees. The question is the market competition that exists among employers, and I offer you this and then you get that. And it's just this imposition and then more regulations and more rules. And it's not just this. There are so many other things, whether it's non-competes, misclassification, wage laws. The Virginia Human Rights Act has been expanded. Now you can go and sue people and get unlimited damages in state court. I mean, so it's for you know, various civil rights things. So it's just that expansion of one thing after another thing after another thing that just really puts Virginia in a unique spot that it wasn't in 6 years ago. It's just one thing after another. And Youngkin, I believe he vetoed the paid FML. And every employer, every HR person was like, thank gosh.
Yeah.
And now it did get through. And it's these two laws together at one time. And they're slightly the same, but they're slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
And they offer sort of the same thing, but a little bit something different. Mm. And so that's also what makes it complicated. Then when you layer that with all the federal laws, the federal FMLA, where now you're going to have to figure out like which of these laws applies. And you've got the Americans with Disabilities Act. You've got the Pregnant Workers Fairness Act. So you have all these laws that give all these benefits, and they conflict, but then sometimes they don't. And so if you're an employer, it is just mind-numbing to think about what are my obligations for each thing. Like just even a pregnant worker, there might be five laws that are going to kick in now, because you're in Virginia, that you're going to have to be thinking about to make sure that you comply with all these different things. And don't, if you screw it up just a little bit, you know, it's a gotcha game.
Yeah.
So you got to make sure you're in touch and in tune with what's going on if you're an employer, because things are changing. You need to update your policies, update your rules, make sure people know what they're doing, hire competent HR people, because things are changing.
In addition to all of that, explain to me is it the retire path that small businesses are now somehow going to have to help people out with? Is it a pension? Is that what I'm reading here?
No, I'm not even familiar with that, Jeff. You're teaching me something. I'm truly not familiar with that.
Oh, thank goodness. Well, no, that's good then. It's called the retire path.
Radar. Maybe it should be.
Yeah, it's called the Retire Path Program. I'm told that that's something that's going to be kicking in. Minimum wage increases as well, right? I mean, again,
minimum wage increases go in every year, and that was on a pause, but now it's just revamped back up. Hmm. So it is definitely for Virginia employers. It's so much more than it used. I think that's, and the pace in which it's increasing, I think, has made employers kind of step back. And even like a great employer, like that gives tons of benefits, they might still run afoul of these laws because their benefit might not provide for domestic stalking, for example, time off for stalking or to get a protective order. And they might not have that covered. Now they got to make sure they have that covered. So they might trip up. Even a great employer might trip up.
Yeah. First of all, I want to remind everybody, Karen Michael is joining us. And Karen, give everybody the website and let them know how they can take a listen to your wonderful podcast addressing these and all these and all of the other employment related issues, if you don't mind.
Yeah, my website is KarenMichaelConsulting.com, and my podcast is called The Job Judge, which you can access through the website or, you know, Apple, Spotify, those kinds of things. But most importantly, Jeff, I do not represent individuals, because when I do shows like this, I get like a million people calling me to represent them individually with their conflict they have with their employer. I fix workplaces by going right to the employer and making things right and making sure they're better for their employees. So I don't work with individuals, just so that's clear. I only work with employers.
No, that's and that's excellent. And you know, a responsible employer is going to listen and say, okay, I don't know how to navigate all of this stuff. I know how to make sandwiches. I know how to fix cars. I understand how you paint walls. But my God, I'm not an attorney. I don't know how to do this stuff. They're the folks who ought to be reaching out to Karen, MichaelConsulting.com.
Well, and you know, the one thing just real quick that didn't pass that you might know is that the unions unionizing for state government and for public sector, that's the one thing that got vetoed. That if that passes, I mean, talk about costs and expense, because I work with most state agencies. They're, I have to say, our state governments run pretty well. And I don't care who the administration has been, Youngkin or the new one or the old one, they're actually run very well, and employees are treated, they've got a lot of benefits. So if that passes, I just hope that our community has that on their radar to look for next year, because I'm not so sure it's going to get vetoed next year. And if it goes through, that's like the nail in the coffin for Virginia.
Yeah, I don't know authoritatively, but I will state authoritatively, because I do these things every once in a while, counselor. Oh, I guarantee you that is the next thing to pass, and I guarantee you that it was vetoed for all sorts of strategic reasons, and when that strategery is better served as somebody may or may not be launching a campaign, I don't know, for some sort of national office, then that will, without question, come to pass. What about minimum wage? I know we touched on it briefly, and the big picture is, hey, it's going up, I think, by another dollar an hour. So they're a little short of a dollar an hour. But is that every area of employment, or can I say, hey, you're a dishwasher, right? That's what it used to be. I think dishwashers, waiters, waitresses, you got a lower minimum wage because you're getting tips. Is that still the case?
What's weird is the federal minimum wage is $7.25 an hour, which, I mean, we can agree that's ridiculous, right? I mean, nobody makes $7.25 an hour. So Virginia did start in 2021 adding, like, slowly but surely increases, starting, I think it was like at $9.50. The current minimum wage as of January 1 of this year is $12.77. Next January 1, it's $13.75. And then after that, in January 1st of 2028, it goes up to $15 an hour. And they may adjust it for inflation, but that's kind of where it caps out at $15 an hour. So remember, you know, 5 years ago, it was like $15 minimum wage. Well, we're going to get there, right? And I promise you, from there, it's gonna shoot back up. So I don't care who you work for, you have to make that $15 minimum wage in Virginia as of 2028. But as of January 1st of 2029. But for right now, minimum wage is $12.77, and then as of January 1 of next year, it's $13.75. So again, just one more thing. I'm sure most people make more than that, but just, you know, if you're a 16-year-old going to work, you got to make your minimum wage. So I'm sure there's a lot of people that applaud all of these laws and see them as huge protections for employees. But they have to understand that employers, they have a limit to what they can tolerate. And I'm pretty sure we've reached it at this point.
Yeah, I think I would absolutely agree with you, Karen, that we have reached it. And the next, let's face it, the next stop for a lot of employers is Tennessee or South Carolina or Florida. They're going to look at this as all of this stuff ratchets up and say, okay, some of the benefits that we had here in the past, an educated workforce and lower cost of living and all that, well, the books are not balancing now. So we're going to pick up. We're going to go south a couple of hours, and we'll have happy employees down there. And that, unfortunately, is going to leave a lot of unemployed people here who are entitled to a minimum wage of $15 an hour, except there are no jobs. So is it better to be employed at $12 an hour or unemployed formerly at $15 an hour would be my question.
Well, and then you see, it's not just if I'm a great employer and I'm doing the right things. It's this just massive administrative burden of just look at the paid sick leave law. The administrative burden of figuring out all those things I read to you, domestic violence, sexual, you know, some kind of stalking, sexual harassment. Am I subject to that? Am I, you know, is somebody who feels like I'm supposed to be providing care for them. They live in my home. But a regular roommate, by the way, doesn't count. They have to be somebody that counts on you for care. I mean, it's just all this administrative gobbledygook that, I mean, in my opinion, they should have just said you get 40 hours If you're going to implement this, just say you get 40 hours to do whatever you want.
Yeah, right.
Go do it. Yeah. Not all this other just gobbledygook. But that's just one law, the administrative burden on that one times all the ones that have gone through. It's not just I'm a good employer, I'm trying to do the right thing. And let's not even talk about, Jeff, the fraud that exists.
Right.
Whenever you put in a benefit, I wrote about this Washington State person. She was in HR. She worked for their paid family leave program, saw a hole in the dike, and thought, I can now, put in my little fake forms. Mm-hmm. And she wasn't there like a minute, and she started filling out fake forms for herself, fake forms for her family members, had like $60,000 worth of fake leave. And then, of course, she left. She quit. She went, and then she filed for unemployment, claiming she was unemployed. She was working in California. If given the chance, people will commit fraud.
Yeah.
In theory, it will be a misdemeanor to violate the paid family medical leave, like to commit fraud on that. I'd like to see the first person that gets convicted of that. I don't believe that will ever happen.
No, you are spot on. Well, another reason, if you are a responsible business owner in Central Virginia, you ought to be reaching out to KarenMichaelConsulting.com. Karen, number one, I appreciate you being here. I want to get you back. And if you don't mind, take a look at this thing called Retire Path.
I will.
Okay? Because if that, I'm hoping that somehow one of the mean, nasty AI bots got into my research and said, hey, we're making this stuff up. It can't possibly be this crazy.
I got it.
But
if it happens in PATH, that's not on my radar usually. I wait till things get PATH. But we'll
gotcha.
Look. I will look.
Yeah,
I will research.
Take a look at that if you would, and I want to get you back. And again, KarenMichaelConsulting.com is the website. The Job Judge is the podcast over there. People can and should listen to it, learn more about it. And I just appreciate you being here. I look forward to chatting again soon.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. That is Karen Michael, brilliant, brilliant attorney. And no, she doesn't represent you. Right? And she's absolutely right. Somebody's right now saying, I got to call her. Hon, I got to call her. You remember when the boss said such and such? Yeah, I'm calling. She doesn't do that. She does it for companies. Now, if you are a business owner and you understand, hey, there's a lot of new hoops we're all going to have to jump through. And it's not just everybody shaking their fist to the sky saying, now I got to pay everybody this minimum wage of $12.77 right now, and it's going up to $13.75. And another year after that, it's up to $15 an hour. It's the paid sick leave. It's the paid family medical leave at the state level. Totally different than the federal law, and you're going to be on the hook for all of it. Yeah, then you ought to be reaching out to Karen Michael. It is Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA.